Hi, I'm Annette Richmond. Thanks for joining me for the Smarter Business Moves podcast. If content marketing is part of your growth strategy, head over to my new podcast, Content Marketing School, and visit contentmarketingschoolonline.com for resources. Now let's get on with the show. Hi, I'm Annette Richmond. Thank you for joining me for the Smarter Career and Business Moves podcast. My goal is always to inform, educate, and inspire. I am so excited to have my friend Felipe Cupino with me today. We're just chatting about how much fun we have together when we're doing a live show. And before I ask him to introduce himself, I will say that we are today doing a stream from his profile, as well as my profile, as well as the page for the LinkedIn live show. So you can watch us. We're kind of like going, I don't know if it's quite national but we're in different areas. So I'm so excited to have you here with me. I'm Annette Richmond. This is the Smarter Career and Business Moves LinkedIn live show. And so Felipe, for people who don't know you, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Well, thank you for having me, Annette. I'm so excited to be here. You were actually my very first LinkedIn Live, like, I want to say like 2.5 years ago now. So it's excited to be back. And for those I have not had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Felipe Cofino. I'm the VP of HR and Organizational Development at Signal Financial Federal Credit Union right here outside of Washington, D.C. with our beautiful cherry blossoms you can see behind me that are blooming right now as we speak. And I've been in HR for well over 25 years now, which makes me sound very old. But it's been a great, great journey. I started off in the hotel industry with Hyatt Hotels, spent 23 years working there and got into HR there and just had the most amazing, amazing experience. And then I decided to try to get a job that was also part of my degree. I had a degree in HR and finance. And so I decided to get a job with, I could use both. So I joined a credit union in Herndon, Virginia, and worked there for about 2.5 years, and then got the ideal place to work with the best culture, best people, best opportunities, and just everything. And I landed a job at Signal Financial where I am today. And I've been here for a little bit over 7 years and I've been very happy. And I get to meet wonderful people on LinkedIn now because I'm using LinkedIn to support everything I do at work, from the culture to the branding to recruiting. And I get to meet fascinating people like you, Annette.
Oh, well, thank you for those kind words. And, you know, you do an amazing job with demonstrating your company culture on LinkedIn. I know you have the whole cooking thing where you all cook together, and now you have a cookbook of the employees, you know, recipes and everything. And, you know, you can just feel the connection that you all have with each other. And so, you know, I have my own idea of what, you know, company culture is. I think everybody does. But if you can sort of, you know, give us a definition and clarify what does the whole idea of, you know, company culture, what does that mean?
That's a great question. And company culture, I think, you know, a lot of people have different definitions, like you said. You know, for me, what I've learned over the years is that it's a mix of different things. Company culture includes, obviously, the opportunity to grow and learn. You know, you want to have opportunity to grow and learn in a company for your own professional development. And that's ideal. You also want a culture that is growing itself. You know, you don't want to join a company that's stagnant and is just not doing anything that's innovative or relevant. You want a culture that is excited about learning new things. The other two aspects that are really important are the culture of welcoming new ideas, of making people feel like they are contributing and their work means something and adds value. And opening that culture of embracing ideas, you welcome innovative things that can make you come up with better services and products and better ideas for the company to grow financially, but also reputation wise. And then lastly, it's probably the most important part, the part where it's a psychologically safe environment for the employees to have fun, to share and be vulnerable, and to be able to ask questions without fear of retaliation. So that's how I lump it in there. There's obviously a lot more to it than that, but those are the main pillars.
No, I really love that idea. And I've had several people over the years talk to me about the idea of how they lead, and they want to make sure that if they're, you know, they're heading a team or maybe several teams, they want to make sure that each person on that team sees how what they're doing fits into the overall plan. And that's really can be important to them. So I'm thinking that's what you were saying as well.
Yeah, you know, it's that goes along the lines of the professional development and growth opportunities, because when you have somebody that has opportunities to grow and learn, and you give them those chances, it does so much for their career. And I think, and you know, repeat the question for me one more time. I want to make sure I answer it properly.
Well, the idea that if I'm working for you and I'm on your team, that I am understanding what I'm doing has this part in the bigger picture. So I understand how my contribution really matters.
Exactly. And so, yeah. So the goals and accountability are the two things I always talk about when it comes to that, because, you know, people think accountability is a four letter word. You know, accountability is something that will help people actually grow. And you think about it, if the person next to you is not being held accountable and they're not doing their work and you're busting your butt to get everything done, and then at the end of the day, you all get the same increases, you get the same accolades. Why are you going to work so much harder with the person next to you? So accountability, it fuels the environment and the culture to help people grow. But then the goal setting. I challenge you to tell me anybody you've met that has met their goals and was upset. Okay? People meet their goals and you're giving them a gift. They are happy. They feel like they have confidence. They feel accomplished and they feel good about themselves. So it's something that when you help someone achieve their goals, you're not only just helping the company, but you're giving that employee a gift of being able to feel like they have contributed and they are confident in their job.
You know, I love that. And I want to say hello to, we have several people who have joined us, but I think that, you know, the idea, I think often when people like me talk about company culture, we're talking about it from the candidate's point of view. You know, you want to make sure the culture is a good fit for you, et cetera. And I'm going to ask you some questions about that. But the thing is, it's really very beneficial to the company as well, right? I mean, for employee retention.
Oh, employee retention and also recruiting. You know, the retention part, you know, it's such a huge thing. At the end of the day, look, there are outside factors that are going to impact us at work, whether it's a pandemic, the economy, whether it's just the individual industry that you're in. And there's always going to be stresses. If you're not looking for ways for people to relieve those stresses and have a little bit of fun at work. You know, the old saying of work hard, play hard. We all say it, but do you really mean it? Do you really practice it? Do you lead by example? So encouraging people to share, again, their ideas. You know, I come up with ideas to have a little bit of fun. I might do a single game night. I might do a cooking thing. I might do an activity where we go out for happy hour. But I stop there after I've shared a few ideas and I ask them, what other ideas do you all have? Or what do you like that we've already done? Validate what they prefer. Don't keep on doing what you think worked always. Validate it, you know? And when they give you ideas, it's amazing. That whole single chef idea was originally an idea of an employee that wanted to learn how to cook something from another employee. And then our CEO decided, oh, let's do a video. And he's led by example. And he created a video of how to make this Spanish soup. So it's one of the things where you have to lead by example, but you have to welcome those ideas from employees for retention. Now, on the recruitment side, for all the recruiters out there and for job seekers, one thing that I started doing with all these videos that I started doing on YouTube and all these things I posted, I was like, okay, I want people to know about our culture. I want to help people know that it's a great place to work and hopefully attract candidates to apply, right? But it's only going to be as good as, you know, as people see it. So as I interview candidates, I actually invite them to do more research and share with them where they can look at that research. So like our YouTube page, where we have videos of us doing TikTok videos, we have us doing lip sync battles, but we also have the innovative things that we've done with our branches, our mobile branch that drives around DC area and how it has a game inside the truck where you go in and we've gamified financial education. So these innovative things, I don't talk about them or show them, people aren't going to know about it. So as a recruiter, during my interview, I'll sit there and I'll be sharing with them and I'll tell them flat out in the interview, I can tell you it's a great place to work. I can tell you that we're fun, innovative, and there's opportunity for growth. But honestly, I could be lying to you just to get you to apply and work here. So I'd rather give you some visuals. So I tell them, check out our YouTube page, go to Signal Careers. If you pull up Signal alone, you'll get our marketing page, but we have an employment branding page. So if you put in single careers, you'll see an orange logo. I tell them, go to the playlist, and here are the playlists that you can look at. During the interview, I started realizing my little spiel about the mobile branch was exactly a minute long. That's how long the video was. So I hit play on the video and let them see the mobile branch as I described it. And then I showed them our innovative branch with a teller line that looks like Starbucks and the Apple Store had a baby. That's what our branch looks like. Again, me saying it. Yeah, well, me saying it is only a visual. Let me give you an idea. Let me give you the visual. And when they see it, they really like, wow, that is a lot more impressive than what I imagined. So promoting your company and using the opportunities of things that you do, like the Signal Chefs and showing them how we have fun there, the TikTok videos where we get silly and have fun, that shows how inviting the culture is. It shows that I'm not just saying that we fun. We actually practice it and display it and put it out there for people to see. So I think it's one of those things where you got to be a little bit vulnerable, a little bit risky. You know, people sometimes companies are very worried about, oh, letting your employees, you know, get on social media. Don't let them do that. You know, it's very, very tight knit. You know what? Take a calculated risk. Let your employees be ambassadors for your company and let them share what you're doing well. Because if you pigeonhole them and don't let them share anything, they're not going to let people know. And it just eliminates the opportunity to promote and brand your company.
Well, I love that. And I just did a show on virtual learning, and we were talking about the gamification, which is kind of a new innovative thing. So when you bring that up, I'm like, oh, okay. So there is definitely, that is innovation. So I just want to just say hello to a couple of people. Marcia, you are the ambassador. And I would have to say that, you know, from what I see on LinkedIn, you certainly are an ambassador for Signal Financial. And thank you for being here, Marcia.
I love Marcia. She's awesome.
And my buddy, I should say our buddy, Jeff Young, has joined us and was sitting here in the front row. I know you recently connected, and I'm so excited. Thank you, Jeff, for coming by today.
And Jeff, if you ever come to DC, since it's your favorite city, I'd love to buy you a drink or lunch. So let me know if you ever come to the city.
Cool. And so here we have Sumana saying hello from Canada. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, say shout out to Sumana. She's my partner in crime with Workplace Wellness Hour. We do audio rooms every other Monday, and she's just amazing. So anyone who's looking for workplace wellness collaboration, she's the person to talk to.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's why you can't come on my Wednesday night show, because you're doing your own. So so anyway, and hello, Wendy. Thank you also for joining us today. So so I want to talk a little bit about candidates determining if a company culture is right for them, because I know some of the worst jobs I've ever had were when you know, I did not. I knew something was wrong, and I went with it anyway because I wanted to be in that field or whatever the reason was at the time. So I kind of have a twofold question for you. Number one, how can candidates, you know, understand the company culture and really get the scoop on it? And should they, in fact, trust their gut if they feel like, you know, doesn't feel right?
Well, the second part is spot on. Trust your gut. If your gut is telling you something, I'm not saying make a knee-jerk reaction. Dig deeper. Your gut is telling you something that you need to look into deeper and trust it. So, and some of the signs may look like this. If you have just on the application process, if they're not responsive, that might be a tell about just the company culture in general, about them not being on top of their game or being, you know, caring about how they're being perceived to others, whether it's their customers or potential candidates. Also, look at reviews. Look at Glassdoor. Look at Indeed. People are going to be very honest and brutal there. And it's, as an employer, I'll tell you right now, my last employer, they tried to take a review down off of Glassdoor, and they fought tooth and nail, and they got nowhere. So what they put on there, as long as it's not, you know, defamation of character or anything, you know, inappropriate, they're going to leave it up there for everyone to see. So you get the good, the bad, and the ugly. I always caution people, though, if it's too good, careful. If it's too bad, careful, because those are the extremes. Look at the middle and look at what's good and bad, and you get a good idea when you see the consistent messages. The other thing I would say is don't be afraid to look at Yelp. Look at how they treat their customers. That's another tell. If their employees are that unhappy that they're giving bad service, that will tell you an indication of possibly how the culture is doing. Also, look at YouTube. If they're on YouTube, if they're putting out videos and promoting their company, is it actors? Is it fake, graphics, or is it the real employees? You'll tell. If you see the real employees, that tells you that they're not only are they promoting their culture, they're proud of their culture. They have so much fun. They want to let everyone else know about it. Like, honestly, look, if Signal were a bunch of boring people that just did not do anything innovative and were not engaging, I wouldn't be posting anything. Or if I did try to post something, it'd be fake. It'd be totally fake. So it's one of those things where that tells you a lot. And then when you're in an interview, ask key questions. Here are three key questions you should ask. One, ask that interview what they like about working there and what they don't like. Both those questions, because that is going to be a key. And not all everyone's going to be honest, but you'll know if they're giving you a fluff answer, if they're giving you a real answer. Because again, mm-hmm. what they don't like, and if they kind of him and haul, this is how I always word it to people. All right, I appreciate you want to be respectful of your last employer, your current employer, but if you had to list everything from 1 to 10 items that you'd like, about working there, what would be the bottom of the list? What would be the number 10 as far as what you'd like the least? And they tend to answer that a little bit better. But also, when you walk in, now again, we don't go in person for interviews like we used to, a lot more virtual. I used to say, when you walk into the building, look at the employees. Are they smiling? Are they laughing? Are they talking to each other when you walk by, somebody? That to me has always been a big sign. If I'm walking down a hallway with a candidate and there's employees around, I say hello to the employees and they say hello. If I walk down and no one talked to me, I didn't talk to anybody, that would be a big red flag for me. So those are just some of the red flags I think to look for, and the things that you can do to find out more information is, again, a lot of it's research and doing your homework and asking the right questions.
Yeah, I love that idea of looking around, because you can tell a lot. I've worked for companies where, you would see it was an open environment, with the cubes, big open space, but they had tables for us to work together. And, if you walked around there, you would see people kind of chatting and laughing and talking. And I've worked for other companies where you walk in and everybody is just like sitting there with their head down working. And, it's just that totally different vibe. And I just want to ask you one other thing, because this has been my experience, that a company treats you the best when they're trying to recruit you. And I'm not saying that they're, it goes all downhill, but if they're not really treating you well when they're recruiting you, it's probably not going to get better.
Actually, that's an excellent point. I never thought about that, but you're absolutely right. If what you're walking into is mediocre at best, don't expect to get better, because they're putting their best foot forward to recruit you, and they're trying to show you all the great, wonderful things and hide the negative things. So that's an excellent point. I'm very, very embarrassed to say I forgot a very important tool for job seekers. Use LinkedIn. Use LinkedIn to see who's working at that company. See if there's any common connections that you might have of somebody that you may have worked with in the past, or maybe, hey, if they're connected with Annette or myself, reach out to people that you know. It's like, hey, I'm applying to this job. Any chance you know anybody that works there? I see that they're connected with you. Go ahead and ask. I've had people that worked with me in the past, and I found someone that I was connected with at a company they were applying at. I didn't know the person that well. We had chatted, I think, on DMs a couple of times, but I just sent them a message, and that alone got them the interview. After that, they were on their own if they got the job, but at least it opened a door for them. So I encourage people to try. The worst someone can say is no.
So I just want to go to our audience. So our Marcia says that there should be training done on working with a multi-generational workforce. And I would say yay to that.
Absolutely.
And we do have a couple of questions for you, Felipe. Right. One from our friend Tina. Hi, Tina. Thanks for being here with us. What about the LinkedIn profiles or missing LinkedIn presence? I'm not sure if she's talking about the company or the candidate. So maybe you're talking about both.
Yeah. So I mean, I think LinkedIn profiles are huge. Obviously, if you're looking for a job out there, most recruiters, when they get your resume, the first thing they're probably going to do is go to the LinkedIn profile and see if it matches, to make sure the dates are correct, to see if you're active, to see if there's anything else your profile might tell. I always say that is a huge thing to know if you're present there, because it helps validate the candidate's experience, but also it's an opportunity for you to stand out. Okay. Now, it doesn't apply to everyone. Obviously, if you're in certain roles that are like accounting or maybe in a role that doesn't have a lot of visual effects, if you will. But if you're in marketing, if you're in PR, if you're even in HR recruitment, there's an opportunity for you to do things on LinkedIn to help you stand out. Showcase your marketing skills, showcase your digital art graphic skills, show that you're recruiting and promoting your job or your company. These are things that are going to make you stand out and say, wow, they really are a true recruiter or they are a true marketer, because I see them not only written that they've worked at the job, but they practice it and I can see them doing it on LinkedIn. So I definitely, and don't have your page be empty. You know, make sure when we say you have a complete profile, it doesn't mean that you need to be posting and doing all this content creation. That's not what we're saying. It's saying make sure that your profile is complete. There's a line that tells you if you're 100% complete or a top star profile. Let that bar guide you to let you know your profile is complete, because it's everything from making sure your experience is in there, but also your about section, your headline, and the images, your background image and your profile image matter. The other small features like the little video on your profile picture, that doesn't necessarily mean your profile is not complete. That's just a little added extra to make you stand out. But make sure that you complete your profile, because as a recruiter, I question when a profile is not complete, is this person even active on LinkedIn? I'm not going to waste time looking at the profile if it's not up to date. And you don't want to miss out on that opportunity of someone learning more about you if they can.
Yeah. So I just want to mention my buddy Tom Pounder, who I think you know as well. Tom is also a recruiter. He said, look at LinkedIn for employment retention. If it has less than 2 years, it's a red flag. And you know that you can go into the company page and you can learn a lot of information on the company page about retention and turnover and the types of jobs that they're looking for. So, you know, obviously that's a place where candidates should look.
And that's a huge thing. You know, I always tell people if they have, you know, less than 2 years in a job, you know, it's going to raise a flag. The recruiter's going to look closer at that job and try to see, why did you leave? If you fill out the application, they want to see the reason. What was the reason for leaving? If it's a layoff or a job elimination, those are the ones that are probably the least, you know, critical to be concerned about, because people understand we're in a recession time period right now. Layoffs are happening. It's not necessarily always your fault. And job elimination is usually not your fault either. So those are not things to shy away from having on your profile or on your resume, because it explains those gaps. Those gaps, I'm telling you right now, I think I'm one of the nicer people, but even me, when I see those gaps, I'm questioning if you don't put anything in there. Are you sitting in front of the TV eating bonbons and having champagne? Well, I mean, what are you doing? I don't know. So in there, if you got laid off, put it down. If you are studying and getting a certification, put it down. If you're volunteering, put it down. If you're taking care of your parent or a child, put it down. We're not asking for your medical history. We're just asking for you to fill in those gaps so don't leave it up to us to guess what you did, because we are not going to do it in a favorable way to you. I promise that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I have encouraged and worked with clients on their resumes to put in if you're volunteering or something, because I think that part of the reason that employers are nervous if someone has been out of work for a while is the fact that maybe they're not keeping their skills up. So if you are, you know, continuing your professional development, or you're going to the conference or whatever, that can really sort of raise your level in the employer's eyes.
Yeah, I'm about to hire somebody for an IT role, hopefully, if they do well in this next interview. But they had a gap. But they explained that during their gap, they got one of their IT certifications. That was perfect. I wanted somebody that had that certification. So the fact that they spent their time doing that erased any concerns about that gap. I didn't even care why or what that gap was, because I knew that they did something that was productive and helped them get more qualified.
Yeah. And, you know, and I love what you just mentioned there, because, you know, the thing is, too, that we need to, you know, you need to own your career. You know, it's great to have an employer who, you know, provides professional development and has a path for you and things. But in the end, you know, we're all responsible for our own careers. So I do want to ask you, because this has happened to me, I'm sure it's happened to other people now, where, you know, one place I didn't trust my gut and another place I took a job with a small firm. And my attitude whenever I'm, you know, starting a new job, working on my business, volunteer position, is how can we be better? What can we do to change things and make things even better? And their attitude was, you know what, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so it was a nightmare for both of us, And when the time came for layoffs, I was the first out. although not the last in. And so if, you know, because I was not a good fit for them, you know, I was disruptive to it was a small firm and I was disruptive. And, you know, me leaving was best for both of us. But my question to you is, what if you do end up in a company and you find that you are, it is just not a good fit for you? Suggestions on how to work there, leave, whatever.
Yeah. So I experienced that at my last employer and it was 2 years of hell. I'll be honest with you. But it was something that I learned early on in my career. This is my personal take on it. So let me say that first is I had a horrible manager about 20 years ago and she just was just micromanaging is like, doesn't even say it, but it was one of those things where she was so critical and the culture was so toxic that it was just affecting my mental and physical health a little bit. Now it wasn't extreme, but it was enough that I was horribly unhappy. I made a decision after going back and forth. I was like, I'm going to quit. You know, we all get fired up. Like I said, I'm leaving this place sucks. I don't need this. I can find something better. But then I was like, you know what? I liked the company. I liked the values. I liked what everybody else was doing but her. So if you're in that situation where it's the manager, not the company, this is what I did. I said, you know what? I'm not going to let one person dictate my career. I'm going to quit on my terms, not because somebody else. Now, obviously, I'm very careful to say that because if someone's being that toxic and that unhealthy to your mental and physical health, I recommend you leave. Let me say that first. Mm-hmm. For me, it wasn't that extreme where I was like detrimental. It was enough where I noticed it. And so fast forward to my last job and I realized I learned so much from that job 20 years ago. I learned what not to do. And so many people would comment on those specific skills that I learned from what not to do that when I was in my last job, I'm like, okay, I had the same attitude. What can I do to make this place better? I wanted to do it. It didn't work. I was hitting, you know, red tape everywhere. I had projects stacking up that were complete, ready to launch, but nope, they didn't want to, not ready yet. And so basically I realized after time and I realized, you know, after I gave it a good effort and a good effort means I put a good year into it. I wanted to make it work. I wanted to see if I could make a change because if I could make a change, good for me. I made an impact and I made a difference, but at some point you got to draw that line and say, okay, am I hitting a brick wall and I can't go around it? I can't go over it. I can't go under it. Or is it so toxic that it's affecting my health? It's time to leave. And that's where I started passively looking. Please, if y'all don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. Do not quit your job until you have another one lined up. It is not going to do anything to that employer. That employer is going to post your job, hire somebody else and replace you and probably forget about you, honestly. And that's sad to say, but it's true. You have an opportunity to make sure that you are safe and take care of yourself, your family, your finances, whatever you have are responsible for. Get a job, get the offer letter, and then resign. Because at the end of the day, you're only going to hurt yourself and your family if you do it the other way. So,
well, you know, that is so true. You know, it can be a tricky situation, but you know, a lot of times there's ways to work around it. So, you know, we've talked about a lot. I think we've covered a lot, and you've been very generous with your knowledge. But I always like to ask for a closing thought. You know, something maybe that we didn't talk about that you think is important to say, and of course, how people can connect with you.
Sure. You know, I think I'm going to end on something that's been a pretty popular topic lately, but it's not a new concept: is upskilling. You know, we hear it, we see articles out there, we see posts. I've done audio rooms with Sumana about it. Upskilling is something I want people to think about for themselves. Don't look at it as, you know, if it's an opportunity where the employer is trying to take advantage of you, that's not what I'm talking about. That's a different issue. And that's something that, you know, you got to be vocal and communicate to them about, hey, if I'm going to be taking on more responsibility, is there pay or what else is going on with me? Have that conversation. But upskilling is something that can benefit you. So if you have the opportunity to upskill, and when I mean upskill, it can be something that you do on your own, getting a certification on your own for something that you want to do in the future. Maybe it's something for your own business on the side that you're trying to do in the future or for your future retirement business. Upskilling and learning new skills is only going to help you with your professional development, your personal development, your confidence. You're going to be able to feel better about the fact that you're learning and growing, but also don't miss out on those opportunities at your job. If they're offering you opportunities to, say, cross-train, I'll tell you from an HR standpoint, cross-training is something that is strictly for the employee's benefit. It really is. There are some side benefits to the after the fact, but it is time taken up by HR to plan it. It's time for the manager of that department to take time out of their day from their day or an employee's day to train and cross-train that other employee. And it's not just like one day. It's usually like a week or 2 week cross-training program. So those are something that it gives you a chance to learn a new skill, see if you like that department or job. And then if there's an opening in the future, you might be the lead candidate because they've already seen you in a working interview when you cross-trained. So looking for those opportunities. I'm not saying look at opportunities to take on a full load of responsibility permanently. That's an added job responsibility. That involves a conversation about pay. But look at the opportunities to take a seminar, get a certification, learn a new skill. These are going to benefit you in the long run as a job seeker, as an employee, and it might help you get that next job or it might help you get promoted. So that's my last parting tip. As far as where you can find me, obviously here on LinkedIn, I'm here pretty regularly posting, not every day, but almost every day. And I do audio rooms every other Monday and every other Wednesday. So I have one every week. But so if I have one on Monday, the following week is Wednesday, is how I think about it. But I do the Monday ones with Simona Jetty, and it's a workplace wellness hour. And we talk all about what's effective in the workplace for job seekers and for employers. And then the Wednesday ones I do, I just had one yesterday with Simone Tai and Tuomo, and we did the High Achievers Hour, and we do that every other Wednesday. So that's where you can find me. Obviously, I'm also on YouTube and Facebook. Twitter, not so much anymore. I've kind of gone away from Twitter, but you can find me on the other ones. And yeah, it's been a great time. I always just love talking to you, Jeanette. It's so easy and comfortable, and time just flies by. And you really are somebody that I gotta say has inspired me. I mean, on so many aspects. But you know, that first LinkedIn audio live that we did, you inspired me. And I know we talked about me trying to do it on our company page. And last year, I did, I think it was 10 LinkedIn Lives with the employees and highlighted different employees, providing financial education. And I attribute all that to you. You really inspired me to do that and gave me the confidence and encouraged me. So thank you for being so wonderful and helping so many other people out there. You do an amazing job.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. That is most kind of you. And, you know, it's a pleasure chatting with you too. So I hope you come back again soon. And everybody else, thank you so much for being here. We've had a lot of people with us through this entire show, and have a great rest of your day. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the Smarter Career and Business Moves podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe.